KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock in Atlantic, we have cloudy skies, light snow, and 32 degrees here at the Nishna Valley's official weather station. In the news, the National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory for Audubon, Guthrie counties, also Monona, Harrison, Pottawatomie, and Shelby counties, where the advisory is in effect until 1 o'clock today. The advisory is in effect for Audubon, Guthrie, Sac, Crawford, and Carroll counties until 6 p.m. So far here in Atlantic, we picked up just over a tenth of an inch of snowfall at the Nishna Valley's official weather station. The winter weather advisory means that snow and periods of snow will cause primarily travel difficulties in the listening area. Be prepared for snow-covered roads, limited visibilities, and use caution while out and about driving. The news is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, in Atlantic. The Creston Police Department says three people were arrested on separate charges. Early this morning, 22-year-old Jessica Marie Larkin of Creston was arrested for public intoxication. Larkin was being held on the Union County charges in the Ringgold County Jail. And at around 5:50 p.m. Thursday, Creston police arrested 40-year-old Ely Melvin Tucker of Longmont, Colorado, for trespassing. At around 11:30 a.m. Creston police arrested 26-year-old Tyree Jermaine Millsap of Thayer for driving while suspended. All three subjects were being held on $300 bond each. And Creston police say two residents reported damage to Christmas decorations on their properties located in the 1,000 block of North Division Street and 900 block of North Oak Streets. The incidents, which happened sometime between 6 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Thursday, caused a total of about $365 altogether damage. Harlan Police Chief Frank Clark on Thursday issued a statement to thank members of the public for their outpouring of support to the law enforcement community. The chief said this past year for those in law enforcement has been a trying one. The public opinion in general and respect has dropped drastically for our profession in the country, he said. But the chief went on to say the officers and staff of the Harlan Police Department would like to take a minute to thank you, he said. In a smaller town atmosphere, the outpouring of support shown to them had been overwhelming. The card of thanks, the goodies dropped off at their Sheriff Police Office, and just a simple thank you for what they do while they're out and about in public has certainly not gone unnoticed by their officers, he said. In closing, Clark said that we strive to serve this community with dignity and respect, and your support is greatly appreciated. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, fake money being marked with Chinese symbols has been showing up in Mason City and in the Sioux City area. The Mason City Police Department said the bills were found in a business and in a bank deposit. Officials say the bills are not valid currency and are typically used to train bank tellers in China. West Des Moines police have identified two people killed in an accident Wednesday evening. Police say a truck driven by 36-year-old Jacob Griffiths of Urbandale struck a pillar of a bridge on Interstate 235 just before 8 p.m. Witnesses stopped and pulled two children out of the truck. Griffiths died in the accident, as did his 6-year-old son Wyatt. The young girl who was in the truck was taken to a Des Moines hospital where she was reported in critical condition. One of the people who pulled the children out of the wreck was injured and treated at the scene. Police have not released any other details surrounding the accident. Des Moines television station KCCI was reporting that Griffiths had a protective order issued against him and had just received visitation rights for the children. The transportation director for the state's largest school district is pleased with student reaction to the addition of seat belts in buses. The Des Moines School District is the lone school district in the state taking part in a bus seatbelt study. The trial, launched in late October, is being paid for by the Iowa Department of Education, school bus seat manufacturer Syntech, and Thomas Bus Sales. Des Moines School Transportation Director Todd Liston said he's thrilled with the student response.
The kids haven't had any real pushback or, you know, hesitation to put the belts on. The kids are hopping on the bus, sitting down and buckling up without really any hesitation at all. Things are going great on that aspect of it.
The district has two buses outfitted with lap shoulder belts for 65 passengers. One of the bus drivers told Liston he's now able to focus more of his attention on the road rather than on students.
What he told me was, I am definitely less distracted by the kids when they're in their seat belts. And man, I thought that was just huge.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration recommended for the first time in 2015 that seat belts be added to school buses, but it remains unclear if Iowa or other states will move in that direction. A big factor is the price tag. It costs $8,000 per bus to add seat belts. There's also been a dramatic uptick in the number of Iowans showing up in emergency rooms because of a brain injury. Jeffrey Lauer is Executive Director of the Brain Injury Alliance of Iowa.
The Department of Public Health is reporting more than 30,000 Iowans in 2014 were seen in emergency rooms, compared with only 13,000 emergency department visits in 2009. So it's more than doubled.
Lauer said there's growing public awareness about brain injuries due to the news about sports concussions and soldiers who've suffered brain injuries.
Awareness is good. However, we have more people surviving with long-term disabilities.
Patients who've been treated for a traumatic brain injury in an Iowa hospital get a letter from the state about 2 months later explaining the brain injury service program.
The primary service of the brain injury service program is resource facilitation, in which skilled brain injury professionals reach out, connect to people, and help explain what's going on, both medically, cognitively, and help people connect and stay connected to necessary services and supports so they don't get lost.
Lauer is asking state officials to at least continue taxpayer support of that program. He says the data shows case managers who work with people who've suffered a traumatic brain injury help those patients keep their job or stay in school, stay out of jail, and out of the psych ward. He said that the death rate for brain injury in Iowa has been decreasing. The Iowa Department of Public Health has been noticing a trend, which is great, but our prevention efforts, he said, have been succeeding. However, he noted Iowans who are surviving moderate to mild brain injury, as well as severe, are on the uptick. More than 3 million Americans have a lifelong disability due to a brain injury or a stroke. Early next year, every Iowa school district will get a new protocol for dealing with students they suspect have suffered a concussion. A 20-year-old Dubuque woman who was born with a rare genetic disorder has been flown to Texas to watch her beloved Dallas Cowboys for the first time, and likely the last time, before she loses her vision. Bailey Shaw was born with Wolfram syndrome, a genetic disorder that causes insulin-dependent diabetes. Her vision began fading when she was 16. Bailey was informed by doctors about 6 months ago that her vision would likely disappear entirely. Her father, Mike Shaw, is the co-owner of the Express Employment Professionals Brain in Dubuque. Express founder and CEO Robert Funk heard that Shaw wanted to give his daughter something memorable before she lost her sight, and Funk paid for Bailey's trip to watch her favorite football team. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Athletic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.